First Book of Samuel, chapter 17. I'll let you guys get there, then we'll go ahead and we'll open in prayer. David and Goliath. First Samuel, chapter 17. Let's go ahead. We'll open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather in Jesus' name this afternoon, Lord, to go through this chapter, chapter 17, we ask you, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word, Lord, that you'd speak directly to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Chapter 17, we're going to just go right for it. David and Goliath. We're going to read right down to verse 11. Okay, so let's go ahead and begin. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azekah and Ephraim's Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. Verse 3. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, within the valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's 9 feet tall. I think he was 9'6", actually. Big fella. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's 125 to 150 pounds. He's carrying one of those Marine Corps backpacks. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, so 15 pounds. And a shield bearer went before him. So he went down in the valley with his shield bearer. He's probably carrying his gear, some of it with him. Verse 8 says, then he, Goliath, stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said, why have you come up to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11. Then Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. So let's stop here for a minute. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. So we have Israel on one side of the valley, Philistines on the other side. It says mountain, they're more like a hillside. There's no large mountains, they're just more like pretty good-sized hillsides. And there's the valley right in between the two of them. And they're on one side, they're on the other, they're preparing for battle. So they were getting ready to battle each other. And Goliath, he sets the rules of the battle. He goes right down in the valley, right? And he says, hey, send out your toughest man to fight me from Israel, right? And he says, if I prevail against him and kill him, then you guys shall be our servants and serve us, right? Now, Israel, this is interesting. Israel was okay battling together. They would take on anyone together as a group. But this was one-on-one. This was a one-on-one battle. And when Saul and his army heard these things from the Philistine, it says they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They weren't used to one-on-one battles. They always battled as an army. So now he comes down, this giant of a man, and challenges them. And dismayed means to lose courage. Okay? That's why, like the Lord says, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. He's saying don't lose courage. So they lost courage after hearing Goliath challenge them. Right? And it says that all of them lost courage. They saw this man come down the valley. They're like, hey, we're used to fighting like group against group, he says. Who's this big guy? Right? Which means they were, it says, greatly afraid. They were terrified. They were terrified when they saw Goliath head down into the valley. Right? Now, Saul, being the king, should have been the one to step forward. He was the king. He was a warrior. Saul was a warrior. And we read back in chapter 9, if you remember, that he was a head taller than everyone. So Saul stood out. He was a big, tall man. He was a warrior. He was the king of the time. But Goliath, when he saw Goliath come down, just struck him with fear in his heart. So he didn't step forward, right? And here's the other thing. When the leader, okay, is afraid, there goes the army, right? There goes the army. They see the leader. He's got fear in his eyes. There goes the army. This is exactly what happened. They saw the fear in Saul's eyes, and everybody else was looking at him. Hey, you're the king, you're the warrior, you're leading us, and you're afraid. And then it says that they were all afraid. Now, we also, we read back in chapter 16, right, that the Holy Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit that was once empowered Saul, God had removed that from him. We read that. And then that demonic spirit came upon Saul. Now, the Holy Spirit, okay, is our source of courage. That's very important to understand that. The Holy Spirit that lives within us gives us the courage to do certain things for the Lord, okay? But this had been removed from Saul. So he's just dealing with the flesh, and he loses all courage. Right? It is through the Holy Spirit that we can walk in strength and power. That's important to know. So now Saul, he's walking by sight, not by faith. Right? He sees this giant down here, and he's like, "Whoa!" Right? He was looking at this battle through the lenses of man, not God. Big difference, right? Not through the eyes of God, not his spiritual eyes, right? It's not until we look through the eyes of God until we can have victory or see victory ourselves, okay? So it's important when you're up against something, if you're going to just live in the flesh and look through the eyes of us and not through the eyes of God, you're going to most likely feel dismayed, terrified, afraid of what's to come. Again, that's if you walk by sight, not by faith, right? There's a big difference there. If you walk by sight only and not faith, you will have that fear. You'll feel defeated. And that's exactly what's going on with Saul and his army. They're looking at this thing from a fleshly view instead of a godly view, right? And God delivers his people through faith, right? Not human strength, which we're going to see. So let's go ahead. We're going to continue. Again, we're in the first book of Samuel, chapter 17. And we're going to pick up in verse 12. Verse 12. It says, now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. David's dad, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old. Jesse advanced in years in the days of Saul. Verse 13 says, the 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. The The names of the three sons who went out to battle were Eliab. We remember reading about him. He was the oldest, the firstborn. Next was Abinadab. And the third, Shammah. Right? So it looks like Jesse had three boys who signed up for the army. Right? Verse 14 says, David was the youngest. Remember, he was the youngest out of the eight sons. And the three oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And verse 16 says, and the Philistine, Goliath, drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. So let's just stop here for a minute. Did you catch that? This went on for 40 days. You read this story, and if you miss that verse, you think that this was a one-day battle, right? Hey, they got together one side, Philistines on the other, Goliath came down, David came down, it was done in a day, everyone went home. This went on for 40 days. And it says it went on for twice a day. This went on for 80 times. So every morning, Goliath would go down in the valley, call out somebody from Israel. Hey, you got anybody send me to fight me? Nobody. He'd go back. He'd come back down in the evening. Say it again. 80 times. And then most likely both armies in the evening after that went their way, set up camp, whatever. But they set up every morning and went through this. One, they're standing outside, they're standing outside. 40 days. Unbelievable, right? I mean, did you guys catch that before when you read that? Did you think this was just one day battle, right? I mean, I did before when I... Yeah. Yeah, you think it just happened? Hey, this was a one day thing and it's over and that's it. No, this went on for 6 weeks. Goliath calling out somebody else to fight him 80 times. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. And you know what? 80 times struck fear in the heart of Saul and his army. 80 times. They went through this 40 days. Again, you got to remember, Israel was okay fighting battles together. Okay? It's different one-on-one. They weren't used to this. They've never battled like this one-on-one. So it really struck fear in their hearts. And not only that, Goliath is massive. 9 feet tall. Probably weighed about 350, 400 pounds. Right, he was a Philistine UFC champ. Saul wanted no part of this guy. Right? Now, this is a big fella. This guy's massive. 40 days of terror in the hearts of Israel. But I want you guys to notice something. As we've been reading now, we've got 16 verses in. Not one man said, maybe we should pray. Maybe we should go to the Lord. We're in over our heads, fellas. Maybe we should seek after God. No mention of this. No mention. If you want to know the condition of your faith, check your prayer life. That is the faith pulse. Okay? If you want to know the condition of your faith, check your prayer life. Right? The amount you pray is the condition of your faith. Very important to understand, okay? You don't pray, you're not in God's word, you're going to have very little faith. You pray a lot, you talk to God a lot, you read his word, your faith will grow, right? We know that faith is fueled by the word of God. That's right. That's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That tells us that faith is fueled by hearing the word of God and praying. Okay, so very important. So let's go ahead. We'll pick up in verse 17. It's going to get interesting. Verse 17, then Jesse said to his son David, take now for you, for your brothers, an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. Right? He knows he's got three boys in this battle on the front lines. verse 18, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousands. Always good to take care of the captain, right? And see how your brothers fare. See how your brothers are doing. And bring back news of them. Verse 19 says, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. They weren't actually fighting. They're poised to fight. Okay? They're still not fighting. They're poised to fight. Okay? So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse, his father, had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for battle. Verse 21. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. Verse 22. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. So he found his brothers on the front lines. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. Look at this. So David heard them. Let's stop here for a minute. So David heard them. I got to take a sip of this. I got a cold, so kind of bear with me if you can. So David's father, Jesse, told David, hey, bring some food to the front lines for your brothers and in the army, and give the captain some cheese, and bring back some word. I want to know how my boys are doing. They're in war here. How's it going? So that's exactly what David does, right? It says David rose up early in the morning, and he went to deliver the food to the front lines. It says, and David came and camped as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army, right? It sounds like Israel was trying to get courage to battle, right? Here they come, right? Each morning, you got to remember, they would head out. Hey, let's go. We're on one side. We're going to fight these guys. And they're going, Philistines are on the other side. And let's go. You know, they're probably trying to, you know, pep each other up, get each other going. They're probably trying to get each other fired up. Hey, let's shout. You know, hey, you know, a lot of trash talking going on. We're going to take these fellas till they saw Goliath, right? But no one dared to accept Goliath's challenge. But look at verse 23. Verse 23 says, then as he, David, talked with them, his brothers, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So he hears Goliath saying the same thing. And David heard them. Okay? What did David hear? He saw Goliath for the first time. And he heard Goliath defying the armies of Israel for the first time. Goliath wasn't just mocking Israel's army. He was mocking Israel's God. We'll see this when we get to verse 26. And David saw what everyone else missed. This Philistine is defying our God. And he's like, wait a minute. So he gets David's attention. He's mocking God's people. He's cursing God's people. And to mock God's people is to mock him. Okay. Remember, God made a covenant with Abraham and his people way back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. God said, I will bless those who bless you, Israel, and I will curse those who curse you. He made a covenant with Abraham and all his family, Israel. In your families, God said, in you, all your families of all the earth shall be blessed. Moses repeated the same thing to the children of Israel in Numbers 24:9. He reminded them. He said, blessed is he who blesses you. He's talking about Israel. blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. You defy God's people, you defy God. And David heard God's name being put to shame, and he can't believe it. He can't believe it. So let's check, let's keep going and see what happens. Let's pick up on verse 24. Verse 24 says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid," they're terrified. So the men of Israel said to David, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. Will give him his daughter." So he's going to give him money. Well, and Saul, he's even agreed to give out his daughter. Quite the piece of work, huh? "And give his father's house exemption from paying taxes." You see what Saul's doing? He's so fearful, he's bribing the army. He's bribing them. They're saying, "I ain't taking this guy on. And I don't think Abner is. And I don't think Jonathan is. So I tell you what, guys. I'll give you lots of money. I'll even throw my daughter in. You don't even have to pay any taxes. You go out and fight this man and kill him." Boy, he's quite the leader, huh? Look at verse 26. "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for this man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God, God's people?'" Verse 27. "And the people answered him in this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done for the man who kills him.'" Verse 28, "Now Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when David spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused at David. And he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and insolence of your heart," which David was not prideful at all, "for you have come down to see the battle." He's saying, "Oh, you came down here to do this, stir up trouble." Verse 29, "And David said," look at David, he's like, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" Verse 30 says, "Then he turned from him toward another." He said the same thing. And he said again the same thing. "And these people answered him at the first ones did." So let's stop here for a minute. So David's saying the same thing over and over. He's like, "You got to be kidding me. This guy's defying God and you guys are sitting back here doing nothing?" And he can't believe it. I think Eliab, the older brother, I think he was still upset that he wasn't the one who got anointed. Remember, we read about that, right? He passed by first. And even Samuel said, "Oh, it must be this guy. He's big." And God's like, "No, I've already had a big guy. That didn't work out." So I think Eliab had something against David, right? We read that back in chapter 16. Eliab, right? He's giving David a hard time. And David, right? You see David's response. He's like, "What have I done? I just come out here and brought food to you guys. Find out what's going on. And you got this uncircumcised Philistine down here blaspheming Israel, the living God's army. What's the matter with you guys?" Right? Even verse 24. Look at verse 24. It says, "They," the army, "was dreadfully afraid," which means they were terrified. Right? This is what happens when God is left out of the equation. Right here. God's left out of the equation. All you got to do is panic and fear and dreadful. "Oh, what am I going to do? Oh," right? That's what's going to happen. This is exactly what's going on right here. Trials and tribulations come. If God is left out of the equation, here comes the fear. Here comes the sleepless nights. You're trying to handle everything on your own. God's left out of the equation. And that's exactly what's going on here with these guys. Right? We have to remember that we serve a mighty God. Okay? And we cannot leave him out of the equation. So when trials and tribulations come, and you're up against something, you don't know how you're going to deal with it, you cannot leave God out of the equation. He has to be, you know, I said the old calculator thing, right? when we were doing a sermon back there with when Jesus fed the 5,000 people, and Philip goes up to him, "Well, I don't know, Lord, we only got, you know, 7 loaves of bread and 2 sardines. What are we going to do?" And then one of the other guys come up and he's like trying to add up, "Well, 200 denarii, we could buy this or that." And he's looking at Jesus. He forgot to hit plus God, right? Remember I said that in the thing, right? If you don't add plus God into your trouble, good luck. Good luck if God is left out. And this is exactly what's going on here. Right, notice this too, Saul being a coward. Here's the king. He's supposed to be setting the example. He's the leader. And Saul's being a coward. He starts bribing the troops. "Hey, whoever kills Goliath, I'm going to give you tons of money. Matter of fact, I'm going to throw in my oldest daughter." Right? Can you imagine? I'll give you my oldest daughter. That means you'd become a prince in the family, by the way, if you married the king's daughter. So this was big time. He was willing to do it. Hey. Yeah, you can have her, you can have the next one, whatever one you want, if you just go kill this big man who keeps blaspheming us. You don't even have to pay taxes, Saul said. Make sure you don't have to pay any taxes. I mean, anything else? And David comes along, he's like, "Who in the world is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Right? You see the difference in men? You see the difference, right? Of a coward leader and a man of God. It's like night and day. He comes along and says, "What?" He goes, he's defying the armies of the living God, almost to say to these other fellows, "You got to be kidding me. You got this guy down here, he's blaspheming God and his armies, and you guys are over here terrified 40 days? Right? And David almost says it, you know, I don't know if this is, but he almost says it in a tone like, "You got to be kidding me. We're going to give out rewards to honor God." Right? I'm going to ask him that when I get into heaven and see him. Because that's what I feel he's saying. You know, you get a text, right? You never can really figure out the other guy's side or girl's side, right? They could be in a happy mood, but you get it. You're like, "Wow, they seem sad." Right? I'm reading David. He's like, "You got to be kidding me. Well, you're going to hand out rewards just for us to honor God? What's the matter with you?" David was like, this man is insulting God, right? David looked at this problem through his spiritual eyes, okay? Through his spiritual eyes, through God's eyes, through the lenses of the kingdom of God, right? Not our kingdom, not our flesh, but with his godly eyes. And he puts all his faith and trust in God, not himself. David never did that. He never put his faith and trust in himself, right? Like Saul. He put it in God, right? David's confidence isn't self-confidence, it's God confidence, right? Big difference, right? Saul and his armies, they measured Goliath against themselves. David measures Goliath against God. See the difference, right? Saul and his armies were saying, "Goliath is insulting us." David comes along and says, "No, Goliath's insulting God, and he's going to get wiped out. You watch," right? And you know what I like, David? He says, "Hey, this battle belongs to the Lord." That's what you got to think. Next time some trials and tribulations come into your life, "Hey, this battle belongs to the Lord. I'm going to give it to him and let him fight it." Man, if we could just do that more often, huh? Well, if something comes in our life and it's not very good, just say, "You know what? Battle belongs to the Lord. I'm going to give it to him." Let's pick up in verse 31 here. I haven't had a coughing attack yet, so I don't want to start yet. I want to start now. So verse 31 says, "Now when the words of David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul." So he went and they reported to Saul. "And he sent for him." Verse 32 says, "Then David said to Saul," this must have killed Saul to hear this, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go down and fight with this Philistine." That must have killed Saul's pride right there. Verse 33. "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it." David was no joke. Verse 36 says, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." He's just a little bigger. He's going to be easier to, bigger target with my slingshot. Seeing he has, listen, just what he says again. He says, "Hey, fellas, just in case you didn't hear me the first time, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." We're God's people, David's saying. 37, verse 37. "Moreover," David said, "the Lord," look at this right here, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Giving all the glory to the Lord. He knows it wasn't him. "And Saul said to David, 'Go, the Lord be with you.'" Let's stop here. Can you imagine? Here's Saul. He's the king. He's a warrior. Saul was in many battles. He was a warrior. Bigger than everyone else, right? He was a head bigger than everybody else. There comes David. He's probably 16 years old here, maybe 18, somewhere in that range. Okay? He's still in his youth. And David says, "Hey, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go down and fight the Philistine." Notice, I want you to notice something. David never mentioned how big Saul was. He could care less. You notice that? These guys saw, "Oh, this guy down here is massive." David didn't even care one bit. He never even mentions it. Like, "Yeah, this guy is pretty big. Yeah, it's going to take me a few slingshots to take this guy out." No. He doesn't care. He doesn't care because, you know what? In his eyes, he's like, "No one's bigger than my God. This guy, Goliath down in the valley, he looks like this big to me. Because God's this big." Right? All he hears is God's name being defied and God's army is being defied, and he knows God is going to wipe this man out. And he's going to use David. He's going to do it through David. And David knew it, right? It just took a man of faith to step forward and realize it, right? They saw a giant in the valley. David saw God Almighty on the throne. That's the difference right there. You can either look at your big problem in life, or you can look at Almighty God on the throne. It's up to you. But the outcome will be a lot different. David knew God, he experienced God in his life, he trusted in God, he walked by faith, not by sight. David was like, it's almost like David is telling Saul, "Hey, listen, this is what I would have said. Hey, Saul, you're afraid? The army's afraid? This has been going on for 40 days? I'll go down there and do it." This is what David's telling him, right? "I'll go down the valley and fight." And you know what he says? He said, "God will deliver." Never took the glory from God. He says, "God will deliver me. I'll go down in the valley. And you don't have to give me all these bribes to honor God." David looked at God as the great deliverer. You guys know, you guys spend a lot of time in the Psalms, you guys, right? David, he writes so many Psalms about God being his deliverer, right? He's always talking about that. I mean, there's a ton of them. We could spend all afternoon going through them. There's a ton. He always writes, "God is my deliverer. When the problem arises, I turn to God. He's my deliverer. It's not me, it's God." Right? David tells Saul, "The Lord has delivered me from the paws of lions, the paws of bears. He's going to deliver me from the hands of this Philistine." Right? David did it. And you know the thing that I like about David? They didn't think he was all that. He had lots to brag about, this man. He didn't think he was all that. He didn't think he was some great warrior. He didn't. He thought God was a great deliverer. Isn't that amazing? He never did. This guy had so much to brag about. He never did. He says, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. He says, it's God. He's my deliverer, right? God said, right? He wrote, David wrote in Psalm 50:15, which is one of my great psalms, okay? David wrote, he said, God said this. He said, as he's prophesying, he said, God said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Psalm 50:15, highlight it in your Bible. There's God inviting you and me as children. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Isn't that a great psalm? David knew why he prevailed over the lions and the bears. It was God. He's my deliverer. He was a man of faith. David didn't tell Saul, I'm strong, I'm fast, I'm a warrior, I've killed lions and bears. No, he goes, I'm bragging about God. That's what David did. He bragged about his God. Right? Now you can see why God says in the scripture that David was a man after his own heart. You can see it now, right? As we're going through this. God said, David, my servant David, he's a man after my own heart. God said that about David. You can see why. All right? Saul told David, you're not able to go against this Philistine and fight. You're a youth. And he's a warrior. He's a UFC champ. Right? Saul tells David, he was basically telling David, you can't win. Who does that sound like? The devil. You can't win. You can't beat this. Right? You know why the devil does that to you and me? Because he's hoping we're going to give up. You can't win. You can't beat this. Might as well give up. Can't handle this. That's a devil. That's what the devil does to us. But David, being a man of faith, he didn't think like Saul. He was like, there's no problem that God can't handle for me. Again, he walked by faith, not by sight. And when we look at a giant problem in our life through our own eyes, we're going to feel defeated. Big problem comes into your life, you look through your lenses, not God's lenses, you're going to feel defeated. That's the way it is. Right? But when we look at the same giant problem in our life through God's eyes, we see victory. Big difference. Remember, right? If God is for us, you know the rest? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's how David felt. If God is with me, who can be against me? Right? Big problems are nothing to God. Maybe a big problem for you. For God. All right, let's continue. Verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet. I mean, he's giving him extra large gear, and he's probably a large or medium. That's right. He also clothed him with his coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk. Can you imagine, right? With this gear. Oh, geez. Exactly. For he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I can't walk in these things. Right? For I'm not tested them. He said he don't test them. He said because part didn't fit. So David took them off. He's like, I really don't need this gear. God's going to fight the battle. So take this extra large stuff off me. It's just weighing me down. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch, which he had, and his sling in his hand. And he drew near the Philistine, heading down. So the Philistine came, and he began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield was with him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. That means he thought he was unworthy. Okay? Thought he was unworthy, disdained him. He's like, please, you're gonna send me down somebody that's my size or close. Right? He says, for he is only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come down to me with sticks? Because he's got a sling in his hand. You're gonna fight me, a warrior like me with sticks? Come on. Right? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. That was a no-no. Verse 44. And the Philistines said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day, look at this, I'll give your carcass of the camp, the whole army of the Philistines, to the birds in the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward him. And the army to meet the Philistine, then David put his hand in the bag, and he took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. Ouch. So that the stone sank into his forehead. And he fell on his face to the earth, face planted it. That must have been something to see. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, look at this. David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, his big sword, and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. I got some real action here. And the Philistines saw that their champion was dead. They fled. Well, let's stop here for 1 second. Right? David tells him, he says, the battle belongs to the Lord, right? You remember that, I'm telling you, when you got trials and tribulations coming. Goliath told David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds and the ants and the beasts. You notice what David said? He goes, no, I'm going to give you and your whole army to the birds and the beasts. Right? Then David put his hand in his bag. He took out a stone. He slung it and struck it right in the forehead. It sank right into his forehead. That must have killed. Then David took his sword, drew it out of the sheath, took Goliath's sword out, cut his head off with his own sword. New UFC champ. Right? Amazing. All right, let's go ahead. We'll finish these last few verses here. Verse 52. Now the men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley of the gates of Ekron. And they wounded of the Philistines fell along the road of Shaaraim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. And then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine, took Goliath's head, and brought it into Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? Remember, he knew David, but he didn't know who his father was. Right? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. Verse 56, so the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. Then, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Here's David now. He's got Goliath's head. He's walking all around town with it. Anybody, you know, right? He's been walking all around. He put his stuff in the tent, but he's still holding his head. So he shows up to meet Saul with his head. Yeah, what do you want to talk about? He's a hard charger. Verse 58, and Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I'm the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. That's the end of that story, right? Now listen, I thought the Philistines, right? Goliath said that, hey, if you beat us, we'll be your servants. What happened there? Right? They fled. They broke their own rules. Never trust the enemy. right? Before we close, I just want to give you the big differences in men right here to keep in mind, okay? Saul walked by sight. He was a man of the flesh. He walked by sight. David walked by faith. Big difference, okay? Saul looked through the eyes of man. David looked through the eyes of God, which means he was always focused on God. He kept his eyes on God, right? Saul trusted in himself. David trusted in God. Saul focused on his problems. David focuses on God. Saul was a man of flesh. David was a man of faith. Big difference in men. And big difference of outcome for them, right? And this was God's way of putting David out to the nation, almost like his, you know, coming out to the nation. His coming out party, I guess you would say. And it was God's way of showing Israel, okay, that true leadership is found in a man who knows where his strength lies. Very important. His strength lies in God, not himself. Now remember this, God didn't pick David because he was the tallest man, or he was the toughest man, or he was the bravest man, or he was the smartest man. God picked David because he knew he had a real heart for God. That's why he picked him. Very important. David was probably small. He was probably a smaller guy. Doesn't matter with God. Remember we read, I think it was the last chapter, maybe the other one, God doesn't see what man sees. He looks on the inside. He looks at the heart. Right? Big difference. And that ends chapter 17. Yeah. So we'll go ahead. Let's close in prayer. We'll close in prayer and then maybe have a little discussion. We'll do some trivia. See if you guys got your thinking caps on. All right. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you as we gathered in Jesus' name this afternoon to go through your word. We just want to thank you, Lord, for speaking directly to us and showing us the difference of men here, Saul and David. Just the contrast is unbelievable, Lord. So thank you for teaching us this and opening our eyes to this, that we should always walk by faith, not by sight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.